It is the last Sunday of Epiphany, a season that celebrates the mystery of the Incarnation. And I am a girl grown in the south of Louisiana, and so it is also deep Mardi Gras for me. If you know, you know. The feasting and the celebration of Mardi Gras reaches a peak this week. Parades are big, the crowds are even bigger, and the party is absolutely monumental. Deep Mardi Gras is an example, perhaps a bit of an extreme and self-serving example, of the joy of Epiphany. Now, right now, today is the day, the time to revel in Christ's incarnation. God manifest to us, Emmanuel, God with us. The more we celebrate Christ's incarnation, the greater our appreciation of Christ's glory in Lent. Today's readings are just an example of God's awesome activity throughout history on behalf of God's people. Consider Elisha and Elijah. Well done, Peter. These two great prophets of Israel. Here is Elijah taking up in a great chariot to his eternal home, a scene that we still sing about even today. And here is Elisha inheriting a double portion of the prophet's spirit. The glory of God, God's mercy revealed in the lives of the prophets. Or consider Peter, James, and John on that holy mountain. Here is Moses and Elijah, the great prophets, in community with Jesus, their rabbi and teacher. Here is the voice of God proclaiming the glory of Christ. Can we begin to imagine these moments in real time, as if we ourselves are standing on the holy mountain, a witness to Christ's glory? What would that be like? Now, in the midst of these two stories, we have four verses from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. When I began preparing for today, those four verses sort of woke me up, if you will. The reading seems, or at least feels for me, a bit out of place, or even, dare I say, misplaced. I mean, there are so many moments in Paul's letters when he writes about the revelation of God's glory manifest in the face of Christ, and yet the lectionary choosers, whoever those people happen to be, think these are the four verses that are going to uplift us, guide and direct us. Now, I could have thrown it out or ignored it. I decided here's the opportunity, the invitation to consider how all of Scripture invites us close to God. If we only had these four verses, we might imagine that it only had one meaning, one that we had derived on its behalf. But Paul's letters, especially the ones to the Corinthians, reveal this depth and breadth of Paul's ministry. Each portion of his writings reveals his own witness of Christ's glory. But before I get knee-deep in Paul's writings, I'm going to take a moment of preacher personal privilege. I grew up in the Lutheran and the Episcopal Church, so my exposure to Bible study came in college when I had friends who were in the Baptist Student Union. Those of you who grew up in the South know exactly who I'm talking about. You know them. We have mutual friends. And there's this time in my life when my friend Andrew brought me a Bible. And as he gave it to me, he said, "If I give you this Bible, will you please just come to Bible study just once?" In other words, he was hoping to strip away any excuse I might have for not coming. And so I went. And that community had a profound impact on my faith. As I began to study and read the scriptures, my theology expanded, drawing me closer to God, deepening my relationship with Jesus, and exposing me to the Spirit. Bible study, it turned out, was 100% worth my time. Bible study invites us to explore not only what we receive from the Scriptures, but what we bring to the Scriptures. How has our understanding been formed? What shapes our theology? Today's reading from Corinthians is a perfect invitation to ask some of those questions. What comes to our minds when we hear the word unbelievers? Or what about the phrase slave for Jesus' sake? I got to wondering about how much of my theology is immovable or unchangeable. Where am I sort of grounded, things that I won't give up on? How open am I to this transformative power of Scripture, this witness of Christ's glory in our lives and our community? So consider Paul's letters to the Corinthians. In our Bibles, we find two letters happily partnered with one another as if they represent two letters. But in fact, what we have in our scriptures represents a whole lot more than two letters. In fact, I would make the claim that they are not two letters in full. Imagine you come across a stack of papers. And as you begin to leaf through them, you discover they're letters. And as you read through these letters, you realize that pages are missing. And in fact, some of the pages are torn, whole paragraphs gone forever. Also, that stack of letters represents one side of the relationship. I have wondered, what did the Corinthians actually write to Paul? Right? Where's the menus that they were planning as he was coming, as they were preparing for his visit? I'd like to see some of those. So we only have one side of the story. Our scriptures are these small windows into a relationship that is wide and deep. There is so much more to the story than what we have here. And yet we return to them again and again because something in these pages and in these verses guides and directs us, our faith, our theology, our life together in community. Now, the portions that we have of Paul's letters to Corinth reveal a community in conflict. Nothing like us at all. Again and again, Paul offers advice and directions, his own wisdom, for how they can live together, how they can make their way through these divisions. He wants to help them find God in their midst and in the ways that they live together. And yet we also discern that they themselves are divided from Paul. They find him occasionally to be a bit arrogant, or they don't like what he has to say, and they found another teacher, they like what that teacher has to say. And so consistently, Paul is saying something like, listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. I have the authority of the gospel in me. And despite all of these distractions, Paul consistently is always pointing to Jesus, to his mercy and love. Paul roots himself in the ministry of Christ, God's mercy and love manifest in all that Jesus did. And Paul encourages the Corinthians that the grace of God revealed in Christ heals all our divisions within ourselves and our communities. All of that, all those words and sentences I just used, are the context for the four verses that we heard this morning. Paul is arguing for his authority as a witness of Christ. The unbelievers are those who are suspicious of him and his teachings. But Paul knows what he has seen and heard, Christ's glory in his life. His witness, his experience of God's mercy is his authority, his gospel. He has an intimate knowledge of God's grace, and that is all he needs to be a minister of Christ. And those who do not believe him, who are suspicious of him, who question him, from Paul's perspective, they are hindered by their own society, unable to know and see what he has known and seen. And these last five Sundays have brought us stories of witnessing God's glory in Christ's ministry. But actually, every gospel story serves this purpose, drawing our attention to God's love manifested in Christ. The mystery of the resurrection is that Christ's ministry does not end with his death. The power of the Spirit manifests Christ's glory in our lives as we experience God's grace. And Paul is the first apostle to claim this ministry, that of a disciple who only knows the resurrected Christ. He was not on the holy mountain for the transfiguration, but he is a witness of Christ in his own life. His gospel is a witness to this experience and knowledge. I wonder how you have experienced Christ's glory in your own life. What are the moments, the memories, the experiences that are rising in your imagination even now of God's grace? How is Christ's love and God's mercy available to us right now? Like Paul, we are witnesses of God's glory in the face of Christ. We may have never seen the prophets taken up in their chariots. We might never stand on the mountaintop and hear God's voice. And here we are. We set aside the distractions of the world and society. We make ourselves available to God's ministry in our midst. And it doesn't matter who believes us. What matters is that we tell our story, that we claim our witness as boldly and with all the authority of the Apostle Paul. The kingdom of God is very near to us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. May we have the courage and the strength to be a witness, to tell the story of how God's mercy transforms us every day.